The Gospel Plan of Salvation by T.W. Brenz. Chapter 13, Who Should Be Baptized? When Jesus commanded the apostles to teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19, there was an implied obligation upon those to whom they were sent to submit to be baptized by them. Upon whom did this obligation rest? These may and should be baptized. None others may, unless other authority be shown for it. That penitent, believing adults should be baptized is admitted by all parties. We need not, therefore, stop to offer proof of what no one denies. But it is insisted that he who has submitted to the divine injunction himself should also have his infant children baptized and thus brought into the church with him. This we respectfully deny. Hence the onus of proof rests upon him who so affirms. Our first duty, therefore, is to examine the proofs presented by him, and if these be found satisfactory and conclusive, our duty is clear without further investigation. For we may be assured that the Bible, faithfully translated and construed, will nowhere contradict that which is clearly taught in it. We know of but three ways by which the practice of infant baptism could be taught in the divine volume. First, by the express command of the Lord or someone speaking by inspiration. Second, by example, that is, where the Lord or some inspired man baptized infants, or where it was done in his presence by his consent or approval. Third, by a passage of Scripture from which the baptism of infants is a necessary inference. A merely possible inference is not sufficient, for while a thing is only possibly true, it is still possible for it to be false. We believe it is very generally admitted that there is no express command for or example of infant baptism recorded in the Bible, hence inferential proof is all we may expect from those who advocate the practice. It may be well to see how this is, for a concession so important from those who advocate the practice in question will greatly diminish the area of our investigation. We will hear what they say on the subject. 1. Dr. Moses Stewart says, "On the subject of infant baptism I have said nothing. The present occasion did not call for it, and I have no wish or intention to enter into the controversy respecting it. I have only to say that I believe in both the propriety and expediency of the rite thus administered, and therefore accede to it ex animo. Commands or plain and certain examples in the New Testament relative to it I do not find. Nor, with my views of it, do I need them." Stewart on Baptism, pages 189 and 190. 2. Bishop Burnett. "There is no express precept or rule given in the New Testament for the baptism of infants." Exposition of the 39 Articles in Booth Abridged, page 116. 3. Dr. Wall. "Among all the persons that are recorded as baptized by the apostles, there is no express mention of any infant. There is no express mention of any children baptized by them." History of Infant Baptism in Booth Abridged, page 116. 4. Luther. "It cannot be proved by the sacred scriptures that infant baptism was instituted by Christ or began by the first Christians after the apostles." Otsupra. 5. Baxter. "I know of no one word in Scripture that giveth us the least intimation that every man was baptized without the profession of a saving faith, or that giveth the least encouragement to baptize any upon another's faith." Ut supra. 6. Wills. "Christ did many things that were not recorded, and so did the apostles, whereof this was one, for aught we know, the baptizing of infants. Calvin, in his fourth book of the Institutes, chapter 16, confesseth that it is nowhere expressly mentioned by the evangelist that any one child was by the apostles baptized. To the same purpose are Stofflius, Melanchthon, and Turinglius quoted. Infant baptism asserted in Booth Abridged, page 117. 7. Palmer. "There is nothing in the words of the institution, nor in any after accounts of the administration of this rite, respecting the baptism of infants. There is not a single precept nor example of this practice through the whole New Testament." Ut supra. 8. Limbourg. There is no express command for it in Scripture. Nay, all those passages wherein baptism is commanded do immediately relate to adult persons, since they are ordered to be instructed, and faith is prerequisite as a necessary qualification, which are peculiar to adults alone. There is no instance that can be produced from whence it may indisputably be inferred that any child was baptized by the apostles. The necessity of pedobaptism was never asserted by any council before that of Carthage held in the year 418. Ut supra. 9. Erasmus. Paul does not seem, in Romans 5 and verse 14, to treat about infants. It was not yet the custom for infants to be baptized. Annotations on Romans in Booth Abridged, page 118. 10. T. Boston. It is plain that he, Peter, in Acts 2:38, requires their repentance antecedently to baptism as necessary to qualify them for the right and due reception thereof. And there is no example of baptism recorded in the Scriptures where any were baptized but such as appeared to have a saving interest in Christ. Ut supra. 11. Bishop Sanderson. The baptism of infants and the sprinkling of water in baptism instead of immersing the whole body must be exterminated from the church according to their principle, that is, that nothing can be lawfully performed, much less required, in the affairs of religion, which is not either commanded by God in the Scripture or at least recommended by a laudable example. Ut supra. 12. Salarius. Infant baptism is neither commanded in the sacred Scripture nor is it confirmed by apostolic examples. Ut supra. 13. Dr. Knapp. There is therefore no express command for infant baptism found in the New Testament, as Morris, page 215, justly concedes. Infant baptism has been often defended on a very unsatisfactory a priori grounds. For example, necessity of it has been contended for in order that children may obtain by it the faith which is necessary to salvation, etc. It is sufficient to show, 1, that infant baptism was not forbidden by Christ and is not opposed to his will and the principles of his religion, but entirely suited to both. 2, that it was probably practiced even in the apostolic church. 3, that it is not without advantages. Lectures on Christian Theology, page 494. 14. We may close this testimony by the declarations of Henry Ward Beecher, who is quoted in the Louisville Debate, page 173, as saying that he had no authority from the Bible for the baptism of infants and that he wanted none, that he had better authority for it than if even the Bible commanded it, that he had tried it and knew from actual experience that it was a good thing. He had the same divine authority for it that he had for making an ox yoke. It worked well, and therefore it was from God. The foregoing list might be extended much further, but these quotations are deemed sufficient to warrant us in regarding it as a fact, conceded that there is no divine command nor apostolic precedent for the baptism of infants. It is insisted that the writers of the New Testament were all pedobaptists. If so, is not such profound reticence on the subject a little remarkable, to say the least of it? They record the baptism of vast numbers of believers just as though infant baptism had then never been heard of. And Luke tells us that when the Samaritans believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized both men and women. Acts 8 and verse 12. Is it not strange that he should be so specific as to mention the baptism of men and women and say nothing about the multitudes of dear little children that were baptized? Their baptism could not have been a matter of less importance than that of the men and women if indeed they were baptized at all. Would any of our pedobaptist friends imitate Luke's example were they now writing the narrative? Would they not likely say they were baptized men, women, and children? They are specifically mentioned in matters not less worthy of note. When the covenant of circumcision was instituted in the family of Abraham, the Lord said, "He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every male child in your generations, he that is born in thy house, or bought with the money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed." Genesis 17 and verse 12. Here is a rite applicable to infants, and we find that even the age of the child to be circumcised is specifically given. Numerous examples could be found recorded where this rite was performed according to the law. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him, Genesis 21 and verse 4. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Luke 2, verse 21. Is it not a little strange, if baptism was made obligatory on children, that we cannot as easily find examples of it as of circumcision? When Pharaoh issued his decree for the destruction of the Hebrew children, he said, "When ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him." Exodus 1 and verse 16. When Herod determined upon the destruction of the infant Savior, he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. Matthew 2 verse 16. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Matthew 14 verse 21. Nor are they omitted in the record of the second occurrence. They that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Matthew 15:38. When infants were brought to the Master that they might receive his heavenly benediction, he said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 19 and verse 14. This account is preserved in the records of Mark and Luke also. When Paul and company bade a final adieu to the disciples at the city of Tyre, the historian informs us that they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. Acts 21 and verse 5. Thus we see that infants were deemed worthy of mention in all matters with which they were in any way connected, even in cases where they did nothing but to satisfy the demands of hunger, or were brought out of a city in company with those who were parting with a friend, where no doctrine is involved, no duty enforced, no dispute settled. Yet we are asked to believe that they were baptized in obedience to the command of the Lord Jesus by inspired men, and no record of the fact, when such a record would have prevented bitter contention and strife, much labor in preaching and writing, and would have secured the performance of a duty now bound to be neglected by many millions of devoted followers of the Master for want of the knowledge which such a record would have furnished.